Welcome. You're listening to a recorded worship service of First Baptist Church, Lenoir City. Believe, belong, become.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've had ourselves a busy morning. We've had baby dedication and graduate recognition. Just a busy, busy time in the lives of so many people and families in our own church family. And today I want to continue a little bit of those two themes and speak to you on this business of Mother's Helper. Mother's Helper. And of course, I'm going to be referring today to Proverbs chapter 31, one of the most famous passages in all the Bible having to do with not just a godly mother, but also her children and how they relate to her. And specifically, we'll be focusing this morning on Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28 as I speak to you again on the subject, Mother's Helper. Well, if you have a wife in your home or a mom in your home, as I do, then you probably know that you've lost control of the remote control ever since HGTV introduced a television program called Fixer Upper. I see some of you guys. I feel your pain. I'm telling you, man, I can't find a remote control. Not when that program's on. And what makes matters worse is they binge show it. You know what I'm saying? They start and they show every single episode. And of course, around my house, I guess we about got them memorized. It's Chip and Joanna Gaines, Fixer Upper, and they're graduates of Baylor University, and they live out in Waco, Texas. And the theme of what they purport to do is take the worst house in the best neighborhood and then totally reinvent that house and set a young couple up and give them something to be happy with and thankful for. Of course, the clown on the program is Chip, but you know that the brains in the operation is Joanna, if you pay much attention to the program. And she is the embodiment of the modern woman. She's a wife and a mother and an entrepreneur and a business owner and a designer and a builder and a caterer and a book author and a magazine publisher and a television star. And yes, a Christian. For which, as you probably know, she has received some grief as of late. But my wife read her book, which is called The Magnolia Story, and my wife also has a subscription to her magazine journal. And Miss Vicki has been both impressed and inspired by this lady. Of course, Joanna Gaines is also the embodiment of the woman of noble character as presented to us in Proverbs chapter 31. And so what I would like to ask you to do is stand together with me for just a moment. Let's read this very familiar passage of Scripture together again today on this Mother's Day Sunday 2017. The Bible says, a wife of noble character who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear of her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And of course, right in the middle of this passage is verse 28, which is really the key verse for my message today. Again, verse 28 says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Would you pray with me and for me today as I speak to you on this business today of being Mother's Helper? Father, we come before you this day again asking you to bless what we do as we break the bread of life as we partake of the Word of God, which is our spiritual sustenance and nourishment. May our spiritual stomachs be filled, and may our spiritual bodies be strengthened, and may our spiritual lives prosper and increase and grow as a result of our time together in your Word. We ask you now to bless all this, for we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. God bless the reading of his Word, and you can be seated. Today, I want to remind you that Proverbs 31 is about a very busy woman who works very hard. I also want to remind you that, if the truth be known, women have always worked harder than men have. And we men know it, and we just don't like to admit it. Amen? So I came across this article in Reminisce magazine. It said, Grandma, on a winter's day, milked the cows and fed them hay, hitched the mule, drove kids to school, did a washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows, and did some chores. Cooked a dish of home-dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some firewood and lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen bin, cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled, churned the butter, baked the cake, then exclaimed, for goodness sake, when the calves ran from the pen, and she chased them all back in again. Gathered eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table, cooked a supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all the dirty dishes, fed the cat and sprinkled clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play, when you come to the end of a perfect day. Grandma was one busy woman, was she not? And I believe that many women today here within the sound of my voice can relate to what I've just described to you. I believe if the noble woman of noble character of Proverbs 31 were here today, she could relate to what I just read to you. Because any way you look at it, Proverbs 31 shows us one busy woman. Now, what I want to do is go back over what I just read for you, but in a slightly different light. Listen again to all the things the woman of Proverbs 31 does. She brings good all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax. She works with eager hands. She brings food from afar. She gets up while it is dark. She provides food for her family. She provides portion for servants. She considers a field and buys it. She saves her earnings. She plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. She possesses strong arms. She sees that her trading is profitable. She keeps her lamp lit at night. She holds the distaff in her hand. She grasps a spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. She does not fear cold weather. She has no fear for her household. She clothes her husband in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She clothes herself in fine linen. She helps her husband gain respect. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. She has clothed herself with strength and dignity. She laughs at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom. She fills her tongue with faithful instruction. She watches over her household affairs. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She fears the Lord. And by doing all these 33 things, she earns her due praise, and she is worthy of her proper respect and reward. So I say again, any way you look at it, Proverbs 31 shows us one busy woman. Now, given what all this woman of noble character does, perhaps she could use a little help. It's obvious from the text she's got a husband. It's obvious she's got children. It's also obvious that we hear very little about what they do and a lot about what she does. Now, every mom here today should say, amen. This is your chance. Okay, I set the table for you. Because given what all so many of our own moms do today, perhaps our own moms could use a little help too. Ah, I heard that amen. It's an oldie but a goodie. It shows up this time of year. It's a poem written by Maud Adams. It's called Paid in Full. It's worth reciting. A little boy came up to his mother in the kitchen one evening while she was fixing supper, and he handed her a piece of paper that he had been writing on. After his mom dried her hands on an apron, she read it, and this is what it said. For cutting the grass, $5. For cleaning up my room this week, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. For babysitting my kid brother while you went shopping, 25 cents. For taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. Total owed to me by my mom, $14.75. Well, his mother looked at him standing there, and she saw in that boy a flood of memories flashing through her mind. Without saying a word, she just picked up the pen and turned over the paper that he had written on, and she began to write. For the 9 months I carried you while you grew inside of me, no charge. For all the nights I sat up with you, doctored you, and prayed for you, no charge. For all the trying times and the tears that you've caused me down through the years, no charge. For all the nights that were filled with dread, for the worries that I knew were ahead, no charge. For the toys, food, clothes, and even wiping your nose, no charge. And when you add it up, son, the cost of my love to you is no charge. And when the boy finished reading what his mother had written, there were big tears in his eyes, and he looked up at his mother and said, "Mama, I really do love you." And he took the pen from her hand, and with great big letters, he wrote across the page, "Paid in full." Now, moms do a lot, but they do a lot more they don't get credit for. And the last thing on this planet we need to do is start record keeping with mom. You hearing me? You don't need to do that. You don't need to count beans when it comes to you and mom. As a matter of fact, I came across something else interesting. You can look this up. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, if mom were to be reimbursed for all she did for us, the average household would go bankrupt. Cooking, driving, helping with homework, taking care of kids, nursing wounds, cleaning up, planning parties, summer activity planning, haircuts, shopping for the family, family finances, yard work, fixing up the house, finding out what the kids are up to, occupations normally done by cooks and taxi drivers and chauffeurs, teachers and instructors and child care workers and licensed practical nurses and maids and housekeeping cleaners and meeting and convention planners and miscellaneous community and social service specialists and health educators and community health workers and hairdressers and hairstylists and cosmetologists and personal care aides and accountants and auditors and grounds maintenance workers and designers and private detectives and investigators and the police force would total nearly $60,000 a year if you paid her at those wages. So guys, you're getting a pretty good bargain, okay? The most important thing I want to point out in my introductory remarks is that mom's awful busy and doesn't get a lot of credit. So if we don't give her a lot of credit, could we perhaps think today about how we might lend her a hand? How we might be of some assistance? And so I pose these two questions for your consideration. How might the woman of noble character in Proverbs 31 have used some help in her day? To that unnamed husband and those unnamed children. And in a similar fashion, I also ask, how might we help the women of noble character whom we call moms and whom we also honor this day? And based on verse 28, I would suggest three ways that we can all be mother's helper today. Now, this passage is written by an individual named Lemuel. You look it up in the Hebrew, it means dedicated to God. Most scholars say that that is the name given to him by Bathsheba, his mother, but his official name was Solomon. So Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, loved his mother, reflected on what all she had done down through the years without receiving much credit or praise or glory. And I think he offers this admonition on ways we can help mom, ways we can be mother's helper today. If you're taking notes, here's the first way to be mother's helper. I would say keep on rising. For every person here today who has a mom or has had a mom, and that includes all of us, keep on rising. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, Proverbs 31:28 begins and says, her children arise and call her blessed. The first thing you're called on to do is actually an action verb. So I looked this word up, arise, in the NIV, the King James and ESV and New American Standard say rise up. In the Hebrew language, the word means to rise, to stand, but it comes from a root word meaning to accomplish something. Accomplish something. Wow. There's an admonition from God's word. You want to do something that will be a great blessing to your mom. Rise up and accomplish something with your life. So Proverbs 22:6 describes the process of raising children from the perspective of both the parent and the child. The role of the parent comes first. And the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. That's the job of the parents, to set them on a certain path. But then I want you to notice, if you will, the role of the child. The role of the child says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's in the King James. Other translations put it this way. For instance, the New Living Translation, when they are older, they will not depart from it. I looked up this word old in the original language. The word zaken means to grow up or to mature. Actually, it comes from a root word meaning to have facial hair. So it's talking about what it means to come of age. So one translation puts it this way. Raise up your children on the right path, and when they are mature, they will not leave it. So I believe with all my heart that a simple biblical principle on display here is that a mother's job is to raise her children on a path to mature into godliness. But I also believe it's a child's job to actually grow up and mature into godliness. There's probably no greater blessing you can give to a mother today than to do just that. Now, my precious wife's going to be mad at me for what I'm about to say, because I'm going to let the cat out. But my wife cooked a cake for my mother-in-law. When we get to your house this afternoon, my mother-in-law, you can have a small piece of that cake. I will take care of the rest of it. My wife worked hard to get all that together. Made a trip to the store, bought the ingredients, came home, took charge of the kitchen. When my wife sets up in the kitchen, I get lost. And she worked hard to mix that cake and do all the preparations and all the ingredients and everything, and then to bake that cake. And when she got done, she applied the frosting, and it's right pretty. And it tasted, it'll taste pretty good this afternoon. But all that had been for naught if my wife had gone to all that work and then stuck the cake in the oven and it never did rise up. You get the point, don't you? And the same thing works for children. Child needs to rise up. And the greatest blessing you can give to your parents and to your mom is to rise up and mature. So permit me, if I can, to put this on a human level and talk about my grandson. Little Will is slowly beginning to rise up, to mature. Here's a difference between him at 1 month and him at 6 months. My daughter took him to the doctor, and the doctor said he's in the 61 percentile and the 91 percentile. And I asked my daughter what that meant. And she said he's taller than 61% of the people his age and heavier than 91%. And I said, so's his granddaddy. It's genetics. You see the difference, don't you? Same thing's true in your family. Children grow and mature physically. Praise God for that. But my daughter and my son-in-law have got a right to expect more from my grandson than just to grow physically and turn into some great big baby Huey. They have a right to expect him to grow into maturity in every way common to men and women. So when little Will goes off to school one day, it won't be enough that he just shows up. No, to whom much is given, much is required, and it will be responsibility of him to say, I'm here to grow and expand my mind and become all I can be and fulfill my God-given potential. Of course, the Bible tells us Jesus did that. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. So I hope my grandson will do as Jesus did and mature mentally and physically and socially and above all spiritually. And I hope, quite frankly, he'll never stop maturing. And now I want to say a word to our graduates. Now, your moms and your dads and your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandparents and teachers and church family, we're all proud of you. And I hope you're proud of yourself. You've achieved a major accomplishment in life. It's a big deal to graduate high school. But you have not arrived. You understand, don't you? This is a milestone. It's not the finish line. And you understand that the admonition from God's Word, if you want to do something not only to bring honor and respect to your mother, but to glorify your Creator, is to rise up, mature. And that means don't settle. In the strictest sense of the Hebrew words, akin, as we have looked at, accomplish something, accomplish much with your life. And please don't move into your mom and dad's basement for the next decade. And I'm being facetious, but you understand that before you now are two paths. One in which you will exercise your God-given gifts and grow and mature in accomplishment. And the other in which you will not do that. And you will become not a blessing to your mom. And you will not glorify your Heavenly Father. Well, I guess I better move on. I'd get myself in trouble talking like that. My second point, the next way to be mother's helper is not only to keep on rising, but to keep on calling. Because the Bible says her children arise, they grow into maturity and make something of themselves, stand on their own two feet, but then they call her. They call her blessed. So I looked up this word call, and it's part of a big, long, complicated compound word. Wa asheraha. But it's just the prefix, the first part, which means having to do with the use of one's voice. And I think in the most basic and fundamental way, the Word of God is reminding us that we have a responsibility to check in on our parents, to regularly communicate with them, and to say some things that are meaningful and special to them. What better day to be reminded of this than Mother's Day? What is calling out? What does it mean on a day like today? Well, I think it means, first of all, telling your mom what all she's meant to you. It's okay to tell mom on occasion that she did a pretty good job. It's okay to affirm her. It's okay to look her in the face and say, Mom, I just want to say I love you and I appreciate all you've ever done for me. Can I go a step further and ask why it is then that we don't do this like we should? Can I ask why it is in a day and age where we have Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and text messaging and FaceTime and Skype and Facebook and email and cell phones and even the United States mail that we don't communicate with the one person that we ought to communicate with on a regular basis, our moms, and tell them how much they mean to us? Yet every pastor knows, Pastor Dick will tell you, what it's like to go visit senior adults and grandmothers. And they talk about what burdens their heart, about what it's like to be lonely, what it's like to sit beside a telephone and just wait for it to ring. I would just say to you today, pick up the phone, call your mom. Find a way to communicate something special. You say, Pastor, are you practicing what you preach? Absolutely. I've already called my mom. I'm going to call her again. I got tickled. My sister drove over from Alabama to visit my mom. I had sent a flowering plant to my mom, and it arrived just as my sister did. Y'all seen that commercial where these two boys are competing over who can outpress their mom? My sister said, great, I drive all the way from Alabama to see my mom, and Jack sends a plant right at that moment. I want my mom to know she's loved and cared about and appreciated and affirmed. Can I go a step further and say to you that calling out involves telling others what your mom has meant to you? Telling others what your mom has meant to you? I mean, moms don't get a lot of attaboys. Moms don't get a lot of public acclaim. Theirs is a thankless job done in private. I got tickled. Johnny Hunt used to tell the story that he went to a conference, and he told it in the first person, but I don't think it really happened to him. But he said he went to a conference, and a man stood up and said, I just want to tell you that some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another man's wife. Everybody was shocked. And he said, and that man was my father and that woman was my mother, and I thank God for how much she loved me. He said he's impressed by that. So he went home and decided he's going to try it on Sunday morning. And he stood up in the pulpit and he said, I just want to say right up front that some of the best years of my life have been spent in the arms of another man's wife. And then it happened. He had a senior moment. And try as he might, he couldn't pull the punchline up. So he did what they tell you to do in seminary. He repeated himself. I say again, some of the best years of my life have been spent in the arms of another man's wife. And for the life of me, I cannot remember who that woman was. I stand before you, pastor, today, before you as your pastor today, and I will say to you that some of the best years of my life were indeed spent being cared for and nurtured in the arms of my very own mother, the wife of my father, for which I am thankful. And I trust you've heard enough, over a decade and a half of stories from this pulpit, about how my mother loved me and cared for me and nurtured me, how my mom prayed for me, how my mom read passages of Scripture to me, how my mom worked hard to make certain that I knew that I was loved and cared for. And I would just say to you, in light of that, the question is, you've heard my stories. Who's heard yours? You expect a preacher to stand in the pulpit and talk about his mother on Mother's Day, tell you stories from his childhood, et cetera, et cetera. But who's heard your stories about your mom? Have your own children been told what your mother means to you? If not, then don't expect one day for them to tell their children what you mean to them. Calling out thirdly means not just telling your mom what all she's meant to you, and not just telling others what your mom's meant to you, but above all else, telling God what your mom has meant to you. I mean, wouldn't today be the perfect day to actually stop in the midst of all your business and get down on your knees and thank God for your mother? And ask yourself where you would be without her. I've shared before my bedtime habit, laying down at night, my head hits the pillow, and increasingly each and every night spending time with God, just talking about things. My prayers generally follow a same pattern, and I meet them from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for life itself. Thanks for creating me, a human being made in the image of God, me. I mean, guys, at the end of the day, it's better to be than not to be. And I could have been some animal or some plant. But I'm a human being made in the image of Almighty God. More than that, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank Him for life and spiritual life. And then an abundance of blessings. And you want to know what tops my list for my blessings every day? My precious wife. I tell her every day I love her. And I tell her every day that in this world, she's the single greatest blessing I ever received. And you know what I believe with all my heart? I have the responsibility to nurture her. It is my responsibility to nurture my wife. It is my responsibility to make certain that she knows how much I love her. Look at the rest of this verse. Look at the rest of Proverbs 31:28. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And look what he says. He says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Now, you know, back in the day, I've shared before smartphones and text messages, the number one day of the year for long-distance phone calls was Mother's Day. And the number one day of the year for collect calls was Father's Day. Why is that? Because we all instinctively look at mom as a nurturer and dad as a provider. And yet the irony of this passage is, in Proverbs 31, these seem to be shared tasks. It seems to me that mom is doing a lot of nurturing, but she's also doing an awful lot of providing. And ironically, the only time the father is mentioned before this business of him being out in the city gate, his practice in the home, he's not so much shown as a provider as a nurturer. And listen to me, Dad. You want your son to grow up and love his wife like God intended? Let him see you love his mother like God intended. Rather than tear her down with your biting, bitter, sarcastic comments, lift her up before him with your mouth. And show her the respect and dignity that she's due and set a godly example. And then one day when he is old, he will not depart from it because he will know how to treat a lady. All God's people said, amen, amen indeed. So Solomon then gives us a third thing. The first way to be mother's helper is to keep on rising. Make something of yourself. Grow up, mature. Do something with your life. Secondly, keep on calling. Keep checking in. Keep thanking and affirming. And then lastly, keep on blessing. See, the Bible says her children arise and call her. Call her blessed. That's what they call her. So I looked up the word, and again, it's a compound word. It's the Y Asaruga. And the word, the Y up front, it has to do with the business of using your mouth. But then the second part, Asaruga, means to make someone happy, to become a blessing to someone. Note that it's in the form of an action verb. The fact that this word occurs in a compound the way it does seems to indicate a double stress on both the prefix and the root. In other words, on both speaking a blessing, but also backing that up by doing a blessing. And that's an important principle. While it's important to communicate with your mother and tell her how much she means to you on days like today, it is far more important to show her that you mean that every other day of the year. And I think the text is stressing. It is showing us what all mom has done. 33 things I read to you. And then it is saying to you, acknowledge that, but now go out and do those things and even more and be a blessing to her. Of course, that all raises a piercing question, doesn't it? About how we treat our parents, and especially our mothers. It raises piercing questions. Not just about how often we call or send flowers. But how often we show up, roll up our sleeves, go to work, said, what can I do for you? How can I love you this day? How can I prove to you what a blessing you are to me? So guys, talk is cheap. You know that? Talk is cheap. And there's a new Geico commercial out. They got a series of commercials called It's What You Do. Now, I don't mean to just promote Geico, but I think their commercials are funny. One of them says, if you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. It's what you do. And you laugh at these dumb people because they run toward danger, not away from it. If something goes wrong, you find a scapegoat. It's what you do. If you're a free-range chicken, you roam free. It's what you do. If you're a cat, you ignore people. It's what you do. If you're a fisherman, you tell lies. It's what you do. If your boss drops by, you act like you're busy. It's what you do. If you're a golf commentator, you whisper. It's what you do. It's a whole series of humorous commercials. And now they've come out with one about a cowboy, and he's a sheriff, and the bad guys are in town, and they're in the local saloon, and they're just living large, and he walks up to the saloon doors and throws them open, and he walks into the saloon like this, left foot, right foot, stop, tilt head, look up, give me look. And then they make the point, to walk the walk, you talk the talk. And if you talk the talk, you better walk the walk. It's what you better do. I say to you, if you talk the talk and say, Mom, I love you, then walk the walk. It's what you better do. You better back it up. So then, Proverbs 31 offers us several good ways to be mother's helper today. Mother's Day 2017, I remind you that they are these. Keep on rising. Keep on calling. Keep on blessing. How this particular message applies to you, I can't say. That's between you and the Lord. How it plays itself out, I can't say. That's between you and your mom. But this much I do know. The Word of God tells us, her children rise up and call her blessed. And if more of us would practice that, the world would be a better place. Well, we have a trip planned this fall going to Israel. We have had quite a few people sign up. We're excited about our trip. And if you've never been to Israel, I hope you'll go to Israel one day. But I also want to say to you that if you've never been to Israel and you've never been to the Dead Sea and you've never seen it, you really better go to Israel, because the Dead Sea is disappearing. It's really scary what's happening. If you look at some satellite photos, they show you the Dead Sea from 1972 and then 45 years later in 2017. And the Dead Sea used to have two parts, an upper and a lower, and now it just has an upper part. All that blue down at the bottom is where they have salt pans, where they are harvesting salt from what's left of the evaporating water. They're telling us that in short order, it's probably going to dry up and disappear. Now, oh, great, Pastor, you've become a bleeding heart liberal, and now we're having to hear about global warming. No, 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 no. I just think it's a wonderful biblical treasure, and I hate to see it go away. So if you go to Israel today, you can see signs of it. You can go to places around the Dead Sea, and they have markers where the sea used to be in times gone by and where the shoreline is now. You can see how much it's receded since 1985. And you go there and you'll see these bathhouses that they constructed back in the 1960s when people would change clothes and then just step out into the Dead Sea, and now they're just sitting there like a half a mile from the Dead Sea. Or you see docks that used to be adjoining the Dead Sea that are no longer attached to the Dead Sea because it's receded so badly. And every so often they even find ships that went down in the Dead Sea that nobody even knew was there because they go down. But the real question is, why is that happening and happening so fast? It's not happening to the Lake of Galilee. Why is it happening to the Dead Sea? And the answer is because of the Jordan River. The Jordan River, as you know, is fed from the mountains up in Syria. And those mountains flow down into northern Israel and those streams, and they fill up the Sea of Galilee, and then it spills out into the Jordan River and flows down into the Dead Sea. Or at least that's the way it always has worked. Of course, the most beautiful parts of Israel, if you go there, are in Galilee around the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River. Just beautiful, gorgeous. Just looks like you're in a jungle somewhere. But then when you go south of there, you realize what's happening real quick, because the Israelis on one side and the Jordanians on the other, they're sucking water out of the Jordan River as fast as they can suck it out. They use it for agricultural purposes to grow things. And they do that on both sides. They use it for drinking water purposes. They use it for manufacturing facilities and all these things. And the once majestic and mighty Jordan River, by the time it reaches the Dead Sea, is just this little bitty trickle with nothing left. And you can literally step across the Jordan River as it flows into the Dead Sea. Now, Pastor, why in the world would you tell us something like that? That's kind of depressing. Because if you're not careful, you can treat people like that. And if we're not careful, we can treat our moms like that. Our moms, who are the wellspring of life. We take them for granted and we just suck the life out of them, and we take from them and we take from them and we take from them, and we never give back, and we wear them out. And then, so sad, in our culture, we discard them. We farm them out. We put them under some care in an institution. And we wash our hands of them. And all I can say is, God, forgive us. The greatest blessing any child can have are godly parents, especially a godly mother. And on this day, above all days, if your mother, who poured so much of herself into you, is still living, then you ought to seek her out and say thank you and tell her you love her. And you ought to commit from this day forward that rather than just take and take and take, you're going to give something back. And if your mother's in heaven and it's too late to do that, then you still find a way to give back. And as you do, keep rising. Keep blessing. And do it for her memory. And for the glory of the God who created her and used her in your life. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.